Well, hello and welcome back. Okay, so I'm going to try and call Ian Villalley from, yes, Ross Sutherland. Okay, he's ready. You can join in if you want.
Aye.
Okay. All right, here goes. Fingers crossed. Hi, Ian. Oh, that was him there. Ian?
Hello, Kevin.
Hi, good to talk to you. I'm here with Val and Marlon from Yes Pensioners for Indy. And I think Val's also with Yes Glasgow North West, aren't you?
Yes. Marlon too, yeah.
Marlon, both of you.
Okay. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
Hi, Val. Marlon.
So can you maybe tell us a bit about your group, Ian? Yes, Ross and Sullen. How are you getting on up,
Kevin? Well, yeah, but first, thanks for the invite to come on and for arranging this, for putting together Indy Live and giving us a platform. It's excellent.
Yeah, we're slowly getting there, Ian. A few technical things, but we're going to try and replace some of the equipment here. But
it's a bit like everything else in the Yes movement, isn't it? We just grow from nothing and make do with what we've got and improve as we go.
Absolutely. You're completely right, you know. Same with Independence Live, of course, you know, with the live streaming. We always encourage people to use whatever equipment they've got, right? Because it's all about getting information out there. But, you know, and then you can build on that. You can build on that, you know, with the basic equipment to, you know, a bit better, you know, as time progresses. But I'm here to talk about Ross and Sutherland, yes. You know, although, you know, up for talking about anything, to be honest. But so how are you finding things up there, Ian?
I'm very encouraged. We're going great guns up here. I'll tell you about Ross Sutherland. When we started back in, I think it was the spring of 2016, and we were a ragtag bunch. We gathered together what material we could, resources from the 2014 referendum. Mm. And we started doing wee street stalls and leafleting through. Well, really, from 2016, we've been campaigning on from there, building up as we went. I think we estimated last year we put out something like 90,000 leaflets.
I'd
like to offer my thanks to Colin, to Indy Poster Boy, because he's been a power. You know, he's just the stuff he produces is superb, and he's been a great support to the group.
And he's always very willing to help out with new ideas for a bit of an image, isn't he?
Absolutely, he's always he'll talk to you and he'll figure out what best suits your needs, and he's brilliant, isn't he?
Before I forget, I better give out the telephone number. Have you got it there at all, Marlon or Val?
Yes, we do.
But so if you want to text us here at indylive.radio.
Yeah, 07507 248856. So it's 07507 248856.
And of course, you can always send us messages on the chat box, which we're monitoring at indylive.radio. Okay, so you're doing stalls and all that as well?
Yes, yeah, so as we've been going, we've built up our membership. And so last year, we started talking about subgroups. I don't know that, yes, Ross Sutherland is a massive area. It's basically everything north of Inverness outside. Oh, goodness, I can't.
Somewhere, north of somewhere.
We are a massive area. Yeah. And we don't have a population centre as such. We've got lots of mid sized towns in the area.
So you've got a lot of farming community up there? Or?
Sorry?
Do you have a lot of farming community?
Yes, I have very rural.
Do you know any feedback from farmers, etc.? I mean, that was a no area, wasn't it, in 2000?
Yes. I can't really offer any light on that.
Yeah.
Don't have any feedback on that one.
What about the stalls that you're doing or talking to people? You getting any feedback?
Well, we started at the end of 18. We talked about creating subgroups to work the area.
Yeah, because it's such a big area, of course.
Through the use of Facebook, we created, I think it's 9 subgroups now. We've now got Yes Rathbeffer, Yes Dingwall, Yes Black Isle, uh-huh. Yes Evington, Yes Owness, Yes Invergob, Yes Tain, and Yes British Peninsula. So there's all these subgroups now within Yes Ross Sutherland.
Uh-huh.
In January, we had a day of action where we had 5 street stalls in one day and wow. additional leafleters going out. And the response is really good, and we're growing as you, from what I've said. We're
so you're getting a lot of more people contacting you to participate in your group, yeah?
Yes.
That
sounds the local groups.
That sounds like a really good setup that you've got going up there. Because over such a large area, that's how you're going to have to do it, isn't it? It's fantastic.
It is indeed, and it's how Yes groups appear to be working all over the country. Because I was listening to Kate the other day in Carnoustie, and she was saying the same thing about working with local groups, and it's the way we have to do things. It's grassroots, isn't it?
Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. We've got a good umbrella group here in Glasgow. I was at represented our group at the meeting there on Saturday afternoon, Yes Glasgow and West. And so what they're trying to do is set up they've been doing it for quite a while, have a framework where groups, but just try and get more groups working together constructively. So for example, doing a street stall in town every Saturday, they're trying to encourage all different local groups, Yes Rutherglen, Yes Govan, Yes Glasgow Northwest, all these, Yes Pollock, get all the different groups to take a turn so that people are working together and maybe share ideas and what's working well and have regular meetings so that groups are sharing their experience and maybe even materials
I've also heard regional groups.
Yes.
Looking at regional groups.
Well, that's what they are really.
I'm just going to say that. Mm-hmm. Yes Ross Sutherland, as well as having the subgroups within Yes Ross Sutherland, is also part of Yes Highland. Yes Ross Sutherland are part of Yes Highland, which has Yes Forest, Yes Nairn, Yes Elgin, Yes Inver, Yes Loch Yes. And Loch Aberne, Skye and Loch Alsh. So, it's just a network building up, and we do the same. We share resources, ideas, experiences, and it works really well.
Was it Kate that mentioned the Indie app? The National Yes Registry? How she was really big in that app. It's a very useful app. And I believe Jason and... Eddie from the National Yes
Register.
They've got another update to that app coming
good.
Out.
That's great.
So we'll definitely be doing a lot with them once Jason gets over here and getting that message out about the app, because of course anybody can use the app to find out where the local group is.
I've got.
I went along to the when Jason was trying to get everyone to, a bit more enthusiastic about it, and then they had their version 2 coming up. They had a big meet that they organised over in Stirling that I went to. It was a day. It was really good. I mean, I got pretty enthusiastic about it. Although I must say, since when I've tried to use the app, I haven't quite managed to get it to work very well, but I'm sure he'll be updating it all the time, and you just need to spend a bit of time getting familiar with it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to taking that forward.
Jason came along to quite a while ago, came along to a meeting of Yes, the pensioners for Indy in Glasgow, and showed everyone how to use it and how to get it on their phone. But as Marlene says, I think it's maybe... The refresh and the relaunch will probably be really good, because I think what had happened was there were some groups this is my my view, but I'm not sure if it's correct, that there were some groups that maybe existed online, but not they didn't actually exist on the ground.
Yeah,
you know,
it was like a top level group.
Yeah,
on the app. I think like Veterans for Independence might be one of those types.
So if you went into the app, there was a structure there, but you couldn't really find out much about the group because the group hadn't really fleshed it out.
Yeah,
but the more that
done the whole front
that's
door.
That's right. Yeah.
So
I think that will come
that as well,
because there's more and more yes groups seem to be relaunching themselves and getting right into it. I heard, is it Daniel Hannan from the National was in Scotland Tonight last night, and he was talking about the journalist from the National, and he was, no, that's the wrong name, sorry, Martin Hannan, and he was talking about how literally there are hundreds of thousands of people out, or thousands of people anyway, I think he said hundreds of thousands, there's many, many yes groups out there, and sort of feet on the street at the moment, and people are very active, like what Ian's saying there, like all over the Highlands, and it's the same down here, and it's great to know that there's that network of people nationwide really all taking action locally.
And it's about learning from each other as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, what are the best practices?
I think we have to take what we can from the India app.
Yes.
It's very good for finding groups, isn't it? You just bang in your postcode and up comes the local groups. So if we can get the name out there as almost a recruiting tool almost. Just put your postcode in and it'll find your local group.
I'll try and I'll ask Jason when he thinks the next update will be available. And I'll let everybody know about it. But it's really positive to hear this, isn't it? Like the groups are growing and all this activity that's going on.
I think the National has been very instrumental in that because I think they encourage yes groups by focusing on grassroots activity in their features in their paper, like for example the White Rose Day that came out recently.
The Day of Action we had in January was one of the National promotions, you know, when they give out 1,000 free copies of the
paper.
I've actually got a song that Callum did.
Callum Beard?
Yeah, we interviewed him, right? And, you know, he gave us this song to put on.
Oh, brilliant.
We're going to have to run that out.
What, you him singing it?
Aye, this song, aye. I'm trying.
Great. Did he write it? Or?
Do you know, I'm not sure, but I'm trying desperately to find it as we speak. I'll see if I can drag it out. Yeah, where is it? But it was, I'm really, thank goodness we've got the National, because do you remember 2014?
Yeah.
I used to walk into the local co-op and it was painful because it was just wall-to-wall media headlines, how poor Scotland is, blah, blah, all that nonsense, right? And we'd no comeback.
No.
You know, there's no other voice there. And also when you're walking along the streets and the newspaper, you know, the banner's out, putting back the Daily Record, whatever, on it, and again, getting hammered into Scottish independence, and it was desperate, wasn't it?
Yeah, just wall-to-wall propaganda, really.
But I tell you what, really good talking to you, Ian, right? I think we'll play a little tune just now.
Are you going to finish me off?
No, I tell you what, Ian, no, on you go. We've still got another. We've got the news at 12, right? So I was going to put on a little song there, but I tell you what.
The Yes Island structure allows us to, we approached Colin and got his leaflets, the ones that are going out with the Indie Kit, and we got him to put a Yes Highland logo on it with the website address. So we created a Yes Highland page with all the different groups on it and links to them.
Yeah.
And then the leaflets, we've ordered, I think it was 60,000 leaflets in Yes Highland, but they're branded to Yes Highland.
Yeah.
So all the groups can put them out, and it's all got a web address that will lead back to the individual groups in Yes Highland. So
that's great.
That's good. And also, we were talking about resources, by being able to order things as Yes Highland, we put in an order for pens recently. And we were able to make substantial savings just by bulk buying. with the Yes Island branding, as long as we can get the branding to come back to the individual groups so that people can find us, you know.
That's it, isn't
it? Again, fantastic.
Coming together, can bulk order stuff. Yeah. You're going to get more for your money, aren't you?
Yeah, that's just fantastic, Ian. And it sounds like what you've been doing up there, you're just a wee bit ahead of what Pensioners for Independence has got planned, because we're just getting to the point where we're ready to start doing those big orders. And same thing, there's a series of groups. I mean, it's not maybe even as many subgroups as you've got up there. I don't think we've got that many spread over Scotland. But it's exactly the same idea, that we'll order big amounts of leaflets and things like pens and T-shirts, all the rest of it. And then it's merchandise. It's got our name on it. It's got the contact.
It's
a really,
sense,
really...
Yeah,
it does make sense. Great. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it does.
One final thing, can I just put a shout out for the... we're running buses to the AUOP march in Glasgow.
Do you know what? This is so good.
Two buses going from Inverness.
Brilliant. This is so good. The reason I'm so chuffed here, Ian, is because the phone calls have been making to all these groups around Scotland. They're all running buses. So go for it, please.
Yes, I'm hearing of lots of buses getting organised. So tickets are available through the Yes Ross Sutherland website. That's yrs.scot. And tickets can be booked through that site. So,
well, that's great. So that's two buses you'll be bringing down to Glasgow.
Two buses are booked. I think one's just a bit filled just now. I'm not sure on the numbers, but there's still seats available. So get in there.
Alright, that's brilliant, mate. Listen, Ian, great talking to you. And just so that everybody knows, Ian, you've done a few live streams for Independence Live, haven't you?
Independence Live. That's another steep learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah, just dive straight in there, Ian. Very impressed. Well done.
It's the kind of thing you just do for yes, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
I get involved in so many things, and I've never done it before, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just getting involved in you.
It's ideal, isn't it?
You pick it up and learn as you go.
But, I mean, like live streaming, it's such a really simple way to put, live streams of like your activity, your group activity, like if your stalls and that, you don't need to be there for half an hour, just be short bursts, and you're creating content for your Facebook pages as well, you know. And there's nothing.
I was amazed at the hits we were getting just through the Yes Ross Sutherland page.
That's really good. It's really encouraging to hear that, Ian, actually. I'll tell you, I've got plans for the Pensioners for Independence. Going to be talking to Kevin about it later on today.
I'll have to put on my Independence Life hat.
We're all retired, except we're not retired now.
I'm trying to persuade him, Ian, to get really heavily involved with Indie Live Radio. Really, because we could definitely,
Oh, here, I'll tell you another thing, Kevin. Indie Live Radio, we were supporting Inverness at one of the street stalls last Saturday, I think it was, and they had one of the busker boxes pumping out music or something.
It had a Bluetooth
link on it, so we fired up Indie Live Radio on the phone and Bluetooth it into this busker box.
That's
Indie Live
fantastic.
Radio was going out to Inverness High Street last Saturday.
But do you know what? Right, but it's soft launched with Indie Live Radio, right? For obvious reasons, right? The technology. We're just sorting this out. We're going to try and get more technology to get this sorted around, right? Plus, we want to get Pensioners for Indie involved, right? And then we're going to really start promoting it. You know, email, we're going to get us loads of leaflets, etc. But one of the things also is what you've just mentioned, right? We'll be contacting the Yes groups. They'll be able to, you know, get Indie Live Radio out in their street stalls and stuff. That, you know, that's all part of the bigger picture to do with the promotion.
I was just thinking at the time, see if we had a presenter on, we could get shout-outs, we could get requests.
Absolutely.
You know, interactive, going with the radio.
Okay, bro. Right, okay.
Well, it's for the future, eh?
Absolutely, but listen,
it's a very near future, let's hope.
Got lots of good plans and ideas there, Ian. It's great to hear them all.
Do you know what? We're going to get
so many
there, aren't
enthusiastic
we?
People within Yes, isn't there?
Yeah, nobody told me I'd be singing in public with the Pensioners.
No one told me I'd get my fiddle out of its box after 20 years.
Okay, we're going to lose you any time now, Ian. Listen, it's been great talking to you, and we'll chat to you again soon, right?
Great stuff. Thanks for having us on.
Okay. Bye, Ian.
Cheers, just now, cool.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Okay, and welcome back. I'm here with Neil Scott. We've still got the ladies from Pensioners for Indy here. But Neil, you do the Ungagged podcast, is that
right?
Right.
Well, there's a few of us do. It's a joint effort. There's quite a few of us. If you're on Twitter, we're @_ungagged. And we're on... we've got a website, leftungagged.org, which we had difficulty with there for about a month, and that's why people who do listen to the podcast probably didn't hear us for about a month there, because our website was down. But it's back again, and we're back in action again. And this, people that from across the world really podcast with us, Kevin, and yeah. You know, as I say, lots, some of the listeners might already know this, but with people from across Scotland and across the left in Scotland, with people from England who podcast with us, we've got a guy, Derek Stuart McPherson, who is based in Melbourne, who podcasts with us. He's originally from Clydebank, and by the way, he's coming back, and he'll be someone who would be a brilliant person on radio, by the way.
We'll get him in, yeah.
We've also got Paul Sheridan, the lead singer from The Wakes podcast with us regularly. Ruth Hopkins, who's kind of the go-to person for Native Americans as a journalist, podcast with us as well. We've Richie Venton from the SSP podcast with us. Mary Hunter from the SNP, she's a councillor through here in Glasgow. Podcast with us, Graham Campbell, another councillor from Glasgow as well. We've got there's many, many more. I could
it's a brilliant podcast, and of course we were putting them out there for a bit, and
until we went down
until I ran out of time to actually get any podcasting done, right? Which is part of the issue that I'm having. That's why we've got we're going to have a meeting after this show. You're more than welcome, Neil, right? Just to discuss Indie Live Radio and how we can run it better. So I'll be good if you could hang about.
I'll say if I get a call from my wife, I'll be away.
There's more important things.
Absolutely.
That's definitely one of them. Yeah. So of course. Right, so out of matter of interest, you fancy choosing a song for us, and I'll see if I can dig something out, and then we'll come back to your podcast.
Well, I suppose if we could maybe, if you could play Party Fears 2 by The Associates.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And the reason why I'm going for that is because Scottish groups back in the 80s were my big thing in the early 80s, and The Associates were amazing. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and the first time I ever heard them was on, I was a young teenager sitting in my bedroom with a wee black and white portable TV on Friday night, Saturday morning. Do you remember that TV programme, anybody?
I don't remember that.
B.A. Robertson was the compere. And like many people have their opinion on B.A. Robertson and whatever, like, but anyway, I used to watch it as a young teenager, and this night, Billy McKenzie, the Associates, come on and sang Party Fears 2, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
It was incredible. And Party Fears 2, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, I've got it. It's not often I actually have songs that guests want, but there you go. And here we have it, The Associates, Party Fears 2. Okay, and we're back, and I've got Neil here. Hi,
hello.
Neil.
Hi, all right.
All good?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've known you for quite a bit now.
A few years, indeed.
And, you know, the Yes movement and all that, various events, etc. What's your overall thoughts and things at the moment?
Do you know what? It's funny because who was it was saying, I read this morning someone, it was Jonathan Chaffee, who I don't always agree with, but I had to say that I kind of agreed with what he was saying this morning on Twitter, in that he is saying that it's a long game we should be playing. And I think, maybe Jonathan's long game is maybe longer than mine, but I think over the next, it'll be another 2 or 3 years really before we can...
Really?
And we should be working for that though. Yeah. We should be, during that time, doing what, you know, you guys are doing, and doing what your caller, I don't know who the caller was earlier on, because
Ian
is doing, building his group, and you know, with in mind that, well, it could happen at any time.
Yeah.
But bearing in mind that, you know, conditions are showing, I think, that it's going to be a longer game than we would want.
Yeah.
But,
what do you think the main reasons are for that?
I'm bringing in Val and...
Okay. Well, I think... Brexit is a huge thing. I didn't want to talk about Brexit like that.
Avoid it.
I want to avoid it. Yeah, there's a few things I want to avoid this morning. But I think Brexit's a huge thing that's going to ensure that it's kicked into the long grass.
Indy's kicked into the long grass, yeah.
I think so, because unfortunately, but it's not what we want, but I think that Brexit is going to push it further down the line. And I think that... the experience of Brexit over the past couple of years has, the political class, I feel, are going to ensure that they don't put themselves in a position, the kind of position that Brexit has put them in, you know, over the past couple of years, and certainly independents would do that, an independence referendum would do that. For all the reasons that John Chaffee and others have been saying, I kind of agree that it's going to be further down the line, and we should kind of...
There is an argument as well, though, that this is the time to grasp the chance, because, you know, like when we're out in the street talking to people, there's a lot of people out there who say to us, I voted no the last time, but looking at the mess that they're making, I would vote yes now. So... I know, I mean, the polls show maybe not quite as healthy a picture as we would like, but maybe we're more impatient because we're older than you. and we might be dead by the time it gets kicked down the road a bit more.
I totally agree with you that there's people that I've, you know, there's people I work with, there's people who, you know, my friends and whatever who voted no in the last independence referendum are... They're now yes.
The other problem as well is that, you know, if Brexit does happen, which it looks likely it may at some point, the damage done to Scotland is going to be so horrendous. I mean, it's already been done. That only by independence are we going to be able to...
Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Of course you do.
But I feel that...
The timing has to be right.
Well... For us, the timing has to be right, absolutely. But I feel that politicians really don't want... I mean, the politicians that... our politicians up here would want an independence referendum, mm-hmm. I would imagine. So imagine Sturgeon, imagine the SNP, and imagine the Greens all want an independent referendum.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that the political class in Westminster will do everything they can to thwart that.
Yeah.
And I think that we've got to... have that in mind over the next, and I think it'll be a few years.
And
it's unfortunate.
I mean, it's also a balancing act, isn't it? Because on the one hand, there's a lot of us, obviously there's a lot of folk, we've been talking to them here about wanting to get the momentum going and, you know, and increase it. And on the other hand, I sort of think, thinking like that longer term, the more damage, in a way, I mean, it's a shame to say it because I don't want any part of the UK actually to be damaged economically, but it is going to happen. In a way, the more that unfolds and unwraps and people understand the difference, that maybe even more people start coming around to saying, well, Scotland has got a way out of this and we need to take it. So it's sort of a balancing just to find the right moment, isn't it?
It is.
I wouldn't like to be in Nicola Sturgeon's shoes.
If it is... a long game we're talking about here, like 3+ years, whatever, right? Do you think that's going to affect activists? Because it's a long time to keep that energy going.
It is. It's bound to,
that's
my concern. I personally think where groups are concerned, there should be, I mean, there are people within any group. I'll try to give you an example of what I mean. After the independence referendum, the group that I was involved with had meetings of over 100 people, you know, for quite a while after the independence referendum. And, so there were people who, you know, were, after what happened in 2014, really emotional about it and got more involved than they probably were
before the actual referendum.
Yeah.
And so there's loads of people like that. But there's also within those groups people who do understand the long game. And I think that the people who do understand the long game, what they should be doing is encouraging activists to look at their local area, to look at, for example, getting involved in campaigns, so an influencing campaign. So there's campaigns at the moment, like there's the Living Rent campaign, for example, yeah, which is an amazing campaign and is snowballing across Scotland. So there's campaigns like that activists really, as well as, you know, of course, pushing for independence and pushing for that referendum, can be meeting with people, yeah, who, like, especially through something like the Living Rent campaign, you're meeting activists who were involved in the No campaign, who are activists and, you know, can be spoken to. And I think that's the way, I mean, as someone from Northern Ireland or the north of Ireland, what happened in the 1960s in Northern Ireland was that there was lots of emotional Republicans, lots of emotional nationalists who, you know, wanted the border away and whatever. But the way that things transpired was through, now I'm not suggesting at all that we, you know, go to the gun or anything like that. That was a particularly Irish thing. But and Irish history shows that it's things like land reform and you know, rent controls and all those sorts of things that bring people together.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back to the 1800s, you had what were they called again? They were called the I can't remember. It was a campaign anyway. There was a land war in the
Not the diggers, no.
No,
no.
There was a land war in the 1800s in Ireland, and that led to then, you know, the groups then grew up that then eventually 1922 got where they wanted to go. Again, in Northern Ireland, Dungannon, the civil rights movement started as a housing campaign in Dungannon, and so I feel that, you know, and that snowballed, as you know, and went into things like People's Democracy and Burntollet Bridge, yeah,
and there's a lot of some of those kinds of campaigns that you've mentioned from Northern Ireland. There's parallels. There's parallel ones now in Scotland, isn't it? I mean, there's the Land Reformation Group.
Absolutely.
I mean, Scottish Greens have been, you know, in a way heading that up, but there's lots of other people from all different parties.
We shouldn't be allowing the Scottish Greens to head that up. We should be all getting involved with those things. And, I mean, back to the group that we ran along the campuses for quite a while after the independence referendum, what happened to that then? What we decided to do at a group of over 100 people, we decided then to split into groups that took up issues. So we had the fracking issue, we had a group working on the fracking issue at the time and did fantastic things, had a huge meeting that we had politicians at and TV cameras and everything at where that was concerned. We have a council watch group, so we have a group that are actually specifically watching for you know, things that are going on in the council and highlighting things that are that obviously we don't agree with, and highlighting them to the general public through the local press and whatever as well. And we had a group then set up as well to work with Faslane Peace Camp. So we go up now and again up there, and we, you know, especially during their birthday celebrations every year. Celebration, well, not really a birthday celebration, if you know what I mean.
But then, and Scottish CND, I mean, they've got a whole set of leaflet series that they're bringing out now, and they're just focusing on, well, if we don't spend that money on Trident, or our proportion of the money that we're going to get charged by Westminster, this is what we could do with it. So their first list, it's all about, well, if that was used to build more affordable homes. I mean, Scottish Government's doing a good job building affordable homes, but to add into it, you know, they've calculated how many that would be, and they're going to bring out another one about childcare.
Well, we should specifically be looking at welfare and things that the Westminster Government are...
Yeah.
We really should be, and all the time hammering.
Because Scotland already is, you know, doing better in quite a lot of areas to tackling poverty than England, and I think that needs to be highlighted.
It is.
Last night,
it's
not all to do with mitigation, though. That's not the only way.
Right. We shouldn't be asking just about mitigation, because mitigation is great. It's great that we've got a government who are mitigating and that, and doing very well in that, actually. Yeah.
Amazingly well.
But that has its, SNP, that has its limitations.
I'm not an SNP member or anything, but I think the SNP have done a great job in mitigating lots of the stuff that's coming up from Westminster. But at the same time, there's a lot more that can be done, and there's a lot more that we can be highlighting. Now, the fact is that we can only mitigate with the budget that we have.
Yeah.
And the budget that we have depends on what's spent down in England.
Yeah, and the budget that we have is decreasing all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the budget we have is decreasing because of, well, the budget in the NHS and whatever is decreasing down in England. And, you know, we are lucky to have an SNP government who are mitigating that, because I'm back and forward to Northern Ireland. I've obviously got family over there and whatever. And I was over last week, and my dad is on a waiting list for, he's got a cataract. He's had one out, and he's waiting for the other one. Now, he was on a waiting list for 2 years, and then, you know, he phoned and asked, when's this going to happen? And they'd lost his name. Now that's one little case. Now, he's now going to have to wait probably another 2 years.
Jeez.
But that's one little case. There's lots and lots of things like that happening over in Northern Ireland. They're having the same problems, and they don't have anyone really to mitigate for them at the moment at all. So their NHS and whatever is decreasing. I see the difference in going to Northern Ireland, where Northern Irish hospitals and whatever, when I left Northern Ireland, were second to none.
Yeah.
And so I see the difference coming over to here and seeing our hospitals and seeing how they're run. Compared to what's happening in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I've got pals that live down in England, and I mean, they're astonished that I can phone up and get a GP's appointment, and I've got a receptionist who apologises if she can't give me an appointment within, you know, a couple of days, and they're sometimes waiting 2 weeks.
So that might not last.
I think that it's a double-edged sword, because the Scottish Government is doing such a good job. Some people are cocooned from how bad things are elsewhere, and we're subjected to this. We talked earlier about the mainstream media, this idea of running down Scotland and presenting what's not a true picture, that in actual fact the Scottish Health Service is doing a lot better than down in England, and that creeping privatisation down there hasn't hit here yet, but that's a danger with Brexit. That's one of the things that Philippa Whitford was talking about at the Yes Glasgow North West meeting. And, you know, there is a train of thought that says while people are cocooned by, you know, no prescription charges and no tuition charges, they don't always appreciate it, you know, that people don't actually. When I went to get my new phone recently, I talked to the 19-year-old guy that was giving me the phone. He asked me about my badge, and I explained, but he didn't know that, you know, the differences between England and Scotland. He ended up giving me a wee bit off. He says, because you're doing such a good job looking after the country, he gave me a wee discount. But I think that is a danger. There is a train of thought that says that, you know, the mitigation is really good for people, but it does encourage a false sense of how bad things could really be if we were.
I agree, but at the same time, we should recognise the fact that I'm a teacher, and should recognise the fact I'm a teacher in an area of deprivation, might add, in Glasgow, and with the welfare reforms on radio doing that, people I'm doing the what is that called
quotation marks
so welfare reforms, I have seen, as they've been rolled out, and they've been rolled out in Glasgow just recently in the area that I'm in, and I see families falling off the edge.
Terrible.
And it is terrible, and children coming in barely clothed, children coming in hungry, and the government, like the Scottish Government, are doing their best to mitigate that. Yes, they are, and there are, you know, this thing, I mean, this fantastic thing that is happening in education called cost of the school day and cost of the school holidays, and they're trying to make sure that, because, you know, with things like we found that during the school holidays, children don't get fed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they're fed in schools. So so now the scheme's to, you know, to mitigate that. But it's about upstreaming all the time. It really should be about upstreaming, looking to what the actual, where the problem starts. Mitigation is just bailing people out all the time. And that's what we're doing. We're throwing all this money at bailing people out all the time because of Tory policies down in Westminster. What we should be, as yes groups, looking at where the problem is and going to the actual, you know, cause of the problem. And, you know, I think all of these rallies that we do are absolutely brilliant in bringing people out in the streets and whatever. I think it might be something for the future to think about where we do a rally. And I think that, you know, the Brexit campaigns down outside Westminster have been very vocal and have been shown on TV every hour of every day. And we should be thinking about buses down. I know it's an old thing that I used to hate with the left, with the SWP and all those different various different groups. There used to be a problem. If there was a problem, we'd get everybody out on the streets here and then say, right, oh, let's all get a bus down to London. And it was like as if that was going to solve anything. But I do think that we should be bringing the
visibility
to where the problem actually lies, yeah, and pointing to where the problem actually lies.
So when you say it's about upstreaming and, yeah, going to where, you know, the, well, the, where the problem, source, where the, yeah, source, but then how do you do that effectively when the source is another parliament 400 miles away? Because that's pretty well where the source of the problems are, aren't they? Whether it's kids or poverty generally.
I know that lots of our MPs are SNP. Lots of our MPs aren't SNP. And lots of our MPs, my MP, voted for welfare reforms. And those are people who we should be... I don't... Do you know what? I think there's a danger sometimes when we say we should be targeting these people and whatever. I don't want to target Joe Swinson, is the name of my MP, yeah, who haven't discussed it at. But I don't want to say that we should be, you know, in any way making her feel unsafe. We shouldn't be doing that.
No, of course.
But we should be targeting her with letters. We should be... when she lost her seat... The time she lost her seat, by the way, I asked for my file and they had to personally deliver my file because it was so thick, the letters that I had sent, and on behalf of groups that I'd been part of as well at the time. So there's lots of politicians in and around Scotland still who were caused the source of the poverty that I'm seeing in my school.
Absolutely.
So those are people who we should be talking to. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Right. I'm going to give Robin McAlpine a phone. Unfortunately for you, Neil, you don't have headphones. You can't hear it.
I'll just say agree all the time.
So okay.
What's right. Four of them?
Do you mind?
No.
You're all tangled.
It means I won't hear it, but that's not the end of the world.
Right. So I'll just get this. Organised. Okay. Right. Here goes. I'll give Robin a call. And if you want to send us in a message, if you get any comments or that, the number, do you have the number there? Well, the number is?
07507248856.
Brilliant. And you can also send us messages on the website, indielive.radio. Okay. I'll give Robin a quick call. Hopefully he'll answer. Right, I'll put you all on. Oh. Right, okay, so no joy from calling Robin there. Right, I'll just bring you all back on, okay? Yeah. So that was a pretty interesting conversation. So it looks like, right, Neil, you're saying probably not going to be another IndyDef for a few years, and we're kind of hoping.
Well, the two oldies at the other side of the table are going, God, we might be dead by this. But I mean, you know, I was one of those people, Neil, who, I mean, I was always convinced about Scottish independence back in 2014. I mean, I did a bit of digging into the finances and thought, God, we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world. So, but I wasn't very active. I went to a few Women for Indie meetings, but I didn't do very much. It was more when Mrs. May, whenever it was now, is it 2 years or 3 years, 2 years, said, now is not the time. I thought, I'm going to have to do something here, which is when I started to get a bit more active. And that's ended up mainly being in Pensioners for Independence. And actually, there's some people in the Pensioners for Independence group who have maintained just a steady kind of effort ever since 2014. And I have to say, they just get my respect, because it's not easy to do it. You set up a meeting and maybe half a dozen folk come and they do, and it works, and they do it, and they keep on doing it. And I mean, one of those people that's done that, Kevin, is Mary McCabe, who I think was here last or earlier that's, this week or last week was right. Came on and did a wee bit of a guest appearance. And you know, she just has my respect for just keeping going and keeping going and keeping going. I don't know if I can quite do that not to the same extent that she has. But yeah, you know, if it's going to be a long campaign, then I think what you just said about having focus groups are on issues roundabout. They're all to do with independence eventually.
Absolutely, yeah.
Eventually, it's all going to keep being momentum that will go in that direction. But kind of focusing on individual issues might be the way to go. I mean, and for us, it could be one around... It could be one around pensioners or around pensioner poverty in some areas. We have to think it through, don't we?
The original Yes Scotland set up one of the things that it did was it looked for groups that had specific issues. And you saw during that time you had I can't remember all of the groups that then sort of. Came together under Yes, but there was lots and lots of different groups that called themselves Yes whatever, and and there was Yes Pensioners then, all those groups, yeah, and then Women for Independence and Radical Independence and all those groups. There was Trade Unions for Independence, there was Teachers for Independence, there was Lorry Drivers for Independence, there was Firemen for Independence.
Yeah, there was English Scots for Independence.
You absolutely have to. And all those groups then were able to focus specifically on, you know, the group that they said they were representing, on how independence would, you know, affect them and make their lives better, or you know, or whatever. And it was really, really good. But I think where groups are concerned, one of the things that you were saying earlier on was, or someone was saying earlier on, was about how do you keep activists active? Because if it is a long game, it is really difficult to do that. I think if you have activists employed in doing what they feel is important, you'll keep those activists. So I see there's been on the Ungagged Twitter, there's been a bit of a chat about the we mentioned CND and Fazley and whatever, and I think that there's a lot. I mean, like CND have got a lot of Yes support anyway, and they've got a lot of but there's a lot of places don't have CND branches. And there's something for maybe local Yes people to be getting involved with, getting local CND branches set up.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. And I mean, actually, I had lunch the other day with one of the activists from CND. Well, she was just going to hand me over some of these leaflets that we've now got on our Pensioners for Independence stall. The ones about let's not spend it on Trident, let's spend it on what's affordable housing, that one. And we just ended up having lunch together out of that. Our next Pensioners for Independence Glasgow meeting is going to have someone from the CND speaking. So you get the sense there could be a lot of interaction like that.
Yeah.
But maybe kind of thinking about it long term as an added dimension to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you know, one of the things that I don't like about, I mean, let's go to a negative thing here, but one of the things I don't like about lots of parts of the Yes movement is that they're quick to jump on people and... and isolate them. Like, for example, you know, during the original Yes campaign, there was a huge Labour for Independence group, and Alan Grogan was did amazing work.
I heard him speak at a meeting in the Gorbals. He was excellent.
Fantastic speaker. In fact, do you know the big rally in 2013 on Calton Hill? I was in the SSP at the time, by the way. I'm not now, but we were there. And there was, you know, lots of all the other politicians. There was lots of other politicians there. Salmon, whenever was there, My wife came along to that one, and she doesn't always come along to these sorts of things with me. And she listened to all the people speaking, and Alan Grogan spoke, and she said, "That's the best speaker today," because it was from here, and from the heart. And but anyway, so I think sometimes that we're shooting ourselves in the foot if we're attacking people, you know, people with genuine views in the Labour Party, instead of talking to them.
Absolutely.
We should be talking to them.
There's too much factionalism.
There
and,
is a wee bit.
And you know, if someone gets a photograph taken with somebody, or they share a platform with somebody that you don't like, just because you don't agree 100% with everything that someone says, I mean, okay, there must be some things that you think, no, I'm not having anything to do with that. There has to be a point where that happens, but I think there's too much of that. Oh, I don't like X that they said, therefore I'm not going to have anything to do with them. And that's, if you've got a big mass movement, that's a death knell.
Debate and argument are necessary.
Oh, aye.
They're absolutely necessary for everybody to
when we're not agreeing with you, for example, about the timing of the India there, we'll have popped our clogs by the time we get it the
that
week.
Do you know what? We'll fight for it. We'll fight for it still. But anyway, so yeah, I think that
that's true, and you see a lot of it on Facebook as well. You go into Facebook. I mean, the two main groups I go at are Pensioners for India, and there's an over 60s for
India. I'll do that sometime.
But you see a lot of it, and so people get really, well, I mean, rude is an understatement about some of the, you know, comments about someone who happens to be, you know, a spokesman for a local Labour Party or the Tories. And I, you know, some folk in these groups come, you know, go in and comment and say, look, guys, you know, these are the folk we need to try and get into communication with and persuade. We're not going to do ourselves any kind of favours with this kind of language.
I think a lot of that's amplified by online communicate. I mean, obviously, a lot of communication online is just fantastic and it is a necessary tool. Mm-hmm. But if you're meeting with somebody at a meeting or on an activity, you're not going to have this rancor and abuse sometimes that you would have just interacting with somebody on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever. Like, I see that quite a lot. I try and stay out of a lot of the yes groups on Facebook because they seem to spend a lot of time bickering about stuff. And I think a lot of it is just crossed wires. You know, it's like saying three and fourpence, we're going to a dance, that kind of thing. Yeah. You know, I think that sometimes you can do that with your own friends. You can like put something in a text and they read it the wrong way. And I think that happens a lot. There's a lot of miscommunication. And I think if people were actually meeting each other face to face, that wouldn't arise. So I think it's something we all have to be cautious and careful about.
No, I totally
agree. And find common ground rather than focus on the bits where we don't agree.
Yeah, I do agree. But I think, you know, people should be able... I mean, that's where yes groups, I think... I mean, certainly our yes group, we encouraged... I'm saying it in the past tense because our yes group hasn't met for maybe about 6 months. I'm hoping that it's not gone. I think all those people are still there, but it's just finding a, you know, that as you say, it's keeping people active. But anyway, I think that sometimes yes groups aren't encouraging of discussion and debate. I think that yes groups need to have a platform where people feel safe to come in and give a view that maybe not everybody's going to agree with.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's lacking at the moment, especially online. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, I think another thing that happens in some of those some of the yes group, I'm saying them, but actually I'm in them. I mean, I'm liking them and posting and stuff. So it's me as much as anything else. Is that you get a lot of misinformation. And so there's a classic one that it reappears every now and again, and it's about the amount of expenses that MPs claim. And there's a statement that SNP MPs claim a total of, and it's about 75 grand over a year, and they compare it with a few million from, you know, a smaller number of, it's always Conservative MPs. And I looked at it and I thought, that can't be right. There's 35 of them. They must have claimed more than that. So I went in. You can find the information. It's easy to get. I mean, actually, you know, SNP MPs claim as much as, or a little bit more than average, actually, which is fair enough because they're further away. They actually claimed about $2 million in expenses. And that's not a criticism. That's not a criticism. That's just what they need. I mean, there's office staff and, you know, travel and all sorts of other things. So I tried debunking them on these groups. So I put in, I do a wee graph and put it on and say, look, guys, I wasn't quite right. And sometimes I get a lot of, yeah, good, that needed said and things. But then I start getting comments. I mean, one, a classic one, which I kind of liked actually, was, well, you're a right wee know-it-all, aren't you? So I just said, yeah, that's right.
I try to get
accurate information.
Yeah. Believe me.
But it just gets shared and it's easy. You just click Ungagged, it and it's off again.
When Ungagged started, we were passed information from, I'm not going to say who, but someone who's very prominent in the Yes movement. And it was due to frustration that, and you'll have heard this term, due to frustration that since the independence referendum, most panels, talking in front of groups of people, were men.
Yeah.
And so the information that we got hard data. It was hard data. It wasn't, someone just being a bit miffed. It was someone saying, look, these are all the meetings that have taken place over the past, whatever it was, year and a half.
Manals.
And so what we did was we analysed the data and we published the data. And the amount of ire that came down on us was incredible. We're just saying, look, this shouldn't be happening. We should be an inclusive Yes movement. And one of the groups that, you know, just even taking it at a numbers game, one of the groups that we needed to target were women. And
From a pragmatic point of view,
just having men talking to usually just rooms of other men is not going to do that. I understand when you give truths, sometimes you
they're not appreciated, isn't that strange?
Yeah, indeed.
Of course, it's a bit of history mash.
It does.
Okay, well, I'm just thinking, is it about time we put on that other song of yours?
All right, my other song. great.
We'll come back and have another little chat after this, right?
We're having an 80s, early 80s reboot here, aren't we?
I really like this song as well.
This one is, but you're
doing well.
Everybody will know New Order. Everybody knows New Order, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's shocking. I'm really shocked at you.
I'm going to have to mug it up if I come back here.
Well, this was New Order. This was New Order's
Tell
first.
Us a bit about it.
This was New Order's first single,
right?
And it, for years, no one would have heard of this song. Really, only people who were ardent fans of New Order or indie music or whatever. Like, but recently, you hear it all the time now. This song's in adverts now. It's on football matches and all that sort of stuff. So it's a song called Ceremony by New Order. So
okay, here we go, folks.
We are Scotland, land of Scots, old, young and new.
Everyone is so engaged politically right now. I'm so proud of my country.
I want my country to be internationalist, cooperative, ecological, fair, European. I demand that status and that esprit européen be respected. But colleagues, there is a lot of things to be negotiated. We will need cool heads and warm hearts. But please remember this. Scotland did not let you down. I beg you, Shekareg, do not let Scotland down now.
We can make the choice once again to become a self-governing nation.
Yes.
To walk tall in the world with national self-respect and dignity like all other normal independent nations do. Our independence will release and ignite a tsunami of energy, creativity and imagination as we get down to the business of building and creating our new independent nation.
So let's think ahead. We are already almost in Europe. We are already almost independent. And we need to start now thinking over that divide, over that momentary frontier, over that obstacle that's just in front of us, to the independent Scotland we are destined to become.
We have to make sure that the Westminster establishment, that the Westminster media knows that the independence movement hasn't gone away, that we're not going to go away, that we will stay here and we will remain campaigning until we win, and we will win. It will happen sooner rather than later.
I've been campaigning all my life, never stopped wanting independence for my country, and as we get closer to it, and it is close now, I want it more than ever. And I'd like to see it before my 3 score and 10, so that I know that my grandchildren will get the benefits of my beautiful nation.
So know this. Believe in this. Work for this. Hope is possible. A better future is within our grasp. Together, we are going to make it happen.
Members are hell-bent on going to any destination so long as it's leaving the EU. It is gross irresponsibility. And there's only one thing that can save Scotland, and that's independence, and independence very soon.
All I hope for this vote is that we say to ourselves now, if you want change, you have two options. Be fear or be ready.
Keep going and make this place a more democratic, more just and fairer country.
I say to the people of Scotland, if we can't save the United Kingdom from itself, now is time to save Scotland. An independent Scotland at the heart of Europe.
Yeah. Together we can raise up our heads and work for a Scotland yet to come, but excitingly visible already. A Scotland of the common weal, of shared wealth and shared well-being. A Scotland that says no to weapons of mass destruction and illegal, unjust wars around the world. A Scotland that respects and cares for our elderly because they have already paid their debt to us. A Scotland that nurtures and supports our youth because we know they are our future. A Scotland of social justice and equality. And a Scotland that listens to the voice and spirit of its people. Let us be an example to the world with our vision. Another Scotland is possible. Our Scotland.
Okay, welcome back to IndieLive.radio. I'm here with all my guests and it's having really good discussions. Yeah, how are you all getting on?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've had my lunch now, so
we're not getting
I'm ready
on.
To go.
We're about to fall out.
Online.
I think.
Yeah, we've pinched the headphones back.
This is good. This could be a first. You know, big Barney.
Neil's making us feel inadequate with his cool music choices.
And I'm so past that I don't care.
Crushed, not caring. I don't know what it's worth.
We'll be asking you for the Alexander Brothers and Santa Nana before
Nobody's
you
Nobody's Child. It was one of my favourites when I was a child.
Fair enough.
Andy Stewart, you got any Andy Stewart?
Andy, I'll search out anything for you. But
no, really, I'm kidding.
At the moment.
I'll bring my fiddle in.
That'd be good. See, at some point, right, after, you know, when we get all this sorted and everything is in the groove and we're actually collectively running a radio station, right, and we're pulling people in from all over Scotland, we're pulling in shows from all over Scotland, we can do all this, right? Got to get the podcast sorted. You know, once you do all this, right, we'll have live shows in here. It's got to be after a certain time.
Okay.
Because this is actually working the office next door,
right,
and they can hear us.
Right, I don't know if we're really up to that kind of standard yet.
No, I'm not.
We have performed in public.
You just what I'm saying, was that friend of mine that I was telling you about, Derek Stewart McPherson, who's he lives in Melbourne. He's a musician over there. He's from Clydebank, but he's coming back to live here in the next month or two. And he's great. He would be ideal for that.
Oh, we've got to get him in.
I'll send you the link to our little video of the Pensioners for Independence Warblers singing our new song that we put to it.
We definitely want that, right? We're going to be promoting it. We're also talking to the Yes Choir. Edinburgh.
So I haven't seen them yet.
They're going to send us their MP3s of their songs once they've got them sorted out. But
have you heard of Block O' Yes?
Who's that?
Block O' Yes. They're a samba band.
I haven't.
The drums and things.
Oh, I know. Can you imagine getting them all in here?
The roof would be.
We've got, you know, it's private flats above us.
What's that?
It's private flats above us.
Oh, is it?
So that'd be quite interesting. See all the complaints flooding in from the noise. But anyway, just a shout out to Yes Muscle Bra 2017 on Twitter. And another shout out to Jerry, who does the news. Poor guy. Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Much appreciated, man. It's either that or it's the Indie Live bot doing the news. I don't think Jerry's too keen on that. Okay, so it's what time? 1:30. We're going to be calling somebody in Westminster. Oh. Theresa May. The looks in everybody's face here, it's worth a live stream. I tell you, that's where live streaming comes in handy. Not Theresa May, it's our very own Martin Day MP, and we'll be calling him for an update. It's been really interesting talking to him the last week while he's been down in Westminster, and we were talking to him and a couple of his colleagues the last time. So yeah, that'll be around about 1:30. We tried to contact Robin McAlpine, but his phone's just rang out, so maybe we'll get Robin another time. Not unless he sends me an email rather rapidly. Okay? Right, folks, where were we?
Gordon up in Aberdeen.
Got my phone, Gordon. Jeez, great. Well, thank you. I'm glad you were here. See, that's where I forget this thing. Right, okay, we're going to actually phone Gordon, pensioners for Indy up in Aberdeen. Right, okay. Just getting this all sorted up. Next time we'll get you. You need to give us some tracks, right? Pensioners for
okay,
Indy.
Okay, we'll get you up. We'll get a list done.
If you need an advisor.
Definitely.
If you need an advisor on the tracks that you're going to send, like just.
Right, that's it, that's the job.
Okay.
He's got himself a job for Indy Live Radio. He checks them all. Right, here goes. Let's see if we can get a hold of Gordon. Come on, Gordon, pick up. Thanks for reminding me about that. I totally forgot. Jeez.
Hello.
Hi, Gordon. It's Kevin from IndyLive.radio. How are you?
Hello, Kevin. I'm fine, thank you.
I've got two ladies from Pensioners for Indy Glasgow here.
Hi, Gordon. It's Marlene here.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Marlene.
Hi, Gordon. Valerie Gold here from Pensioners for Indy in Glasgow as well.
This is great, isn't it? contacting your groups all over Scotland.
Is it like the day?
I'm fine. I'm working away here, as ever.
Great.
Gordon, can you give us a weather report from Aberdeen?
Oh, hold on, I'll pull back my curtain because it's a bit bright. It's a bit bright for my screen. It's grey and overcast.
Grey and overcast.
A little bit cloudy.
I mean, this is real time. You know, weather updates we're given here. But all around
that's
Scotland,
all right.
That's what we
well,
could
yeah,
do.
It's looking mild. My grass is looking pretty bough right enough. It's never come on since last year, but we'll give it a feed, see if we can jib it on a bit.
Okay, well, weather from, since we're talking about the weather from Glasgow looking out the window, it's looking, but it looks okay, really.
Bad.
A few clouds up there, but not too bad down here. So, Gordon, tell us a bit about Pensioners for Indy in Aberdeen.
Well, we're sort of embryonic in a way. Peter Swain, a while ago, maybe 2 years or more, that wrote in a paper that in one local newspaper as it was starting up Indy, so you probably heard how that happened, and people just wrote in wanting to volunteer and help. So it started from that, really, and since then I held a couple of meetings, had a few people came along, and now we've got a wee hardcore of people, but they're spread out around the constituency, because it's much bigger up here. I mean, in Glasgow there, your constituency maybe measures a couple of 3 miles by a couple of 3 miles, you know, for the 50 or 70 or 80,000. Up here, it's like 900 square miles, you know, it's a big belt.
Wow. Yeah.
So we have a big group, and they basically hold stalls and street events and things, and doing that steadily. And we're just warming up again for the summertime. The last one we had was a week or so ago in Aberdeen. have always have a good turnout, and the public seem to be warming to us, really.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Have you noticed any kind of change in people's attitudes to maybe voting yes this time if they voted no last time?
Yes, I mean, I think they're getting a little bit more amenable. I mean, you have to bring Brexit into it, don't
you?
That's happening there.
Unfortunately.
I mean, you can't not. But I think people are starting to realise there's something going on, and the narrative we've been getting from elsewhere, especially the older generation, which we're involved with, is not always thought completely accurate. And when they start talking and listening to other voices, they get a different perspective. And, I mean, I've had a few conversations. I mean, a couple of them, they come up and they say, and many of them are not aggressively no. You know, some of them, the aggressive ones, as you sort of categorise them usually, to be honest, sway a little bit and go away and, you know, see them, you know.
Yeah, that seems to be like that at stalls everywhere, doesn't it? You just get some folk that will walk past and say, no, it's not for me kind of business. And then there's other folk who just need a bit of encouragement to be brought in, you know, to have a chat.
We found that the Brexit board was good for that because you've got a cross spectrum of people who would come in. When they were there filling out the board, you got a chance to speak to them. It held them for those important few seconds just to get the conversation
going. Yeah, I agree
going,
with
yeah?
that, Gordon. We've got, we do our Kelvin SNP stall, and we've got what we call the Brexitometer. And I was talking to Mary about our pensioner stall. I was suggesting we do one of those as well. And it's a great way of engaging people and getting them to come and actually have a conversation rather than just taking a leaflet.
Yes. I mean, it's a great idea, really. I saw it on Facebook being used, and I've got a couple of different boards of different sizes, depending on what sort of event we've got, you know, whether it's a proper gazebo or something, or whether we're just on a table stall. So it works fine. And like the conversations that I've had, and typical is one is that you engage people, and we always try to put the pitch forward that it's what's important is the young folk. I mean, they always ask you, why do you think Scotland should be independent? That's that's always the argument, and just before they follow through with you too, there's not enough money or something, and we just reference that it's the young folk that are being screwed up by what's happening just now. You know, it's them that's having opportunities limited, and it's our duty to try and help them. I mean, help them if they're your family, so why wouldn't they do it on a bigger scale if you have the chance to do so? And that's what we're doing. That's what our campaign is trying to do. And when you explain this to people, older people, and say it's not really going to make much difference to you, is it? You know, people who are in their 70s and 80s would come up and
they
look at you and say, no, really, so why would you stop these young folk having the opportunity? If they, 75% of them say that they're going to vote for independence because that's what the polls say. You know?
So do you find that older folk you're talking to respond to that?
Yes, I mean I've seen a few flicker in the eyes at that point, and they say, I never thought of that, you know.
Yeah.
So even if they just go away and mull it over in their mind and ask their sons or their grandkids or whatever.
One of the things that that I've been trying to do recently, Gordon, is I saw a poster that's a little poster that a handout that someone had done, and it kind of put like youngsters, so that's like 20-30 year olds, the ones, as you say, that overwhelmingly want independence. It kind of put them in opposition to the pensioners. So on the image, it was like, it was kind of like the pensioners were the ones whose fault something was. So things were in opposition, and I didn't like it as an image. So we had a workshop about reframing it at Pensioners for Indie Glasgow, and since then I've been trying to do a small handout for it. And actually, when you think about it, it's like pensioners. You can understand that pensioners got anxious about things like the National Health Service or the economy. Or indeed pensions, but actually the people who are younger, But everyone, most of us, I mean, we kind of love Scotland, don't you? But yeah, there's concerns. But then the younger people are going, yeah, but they want jobs. They want good jobs in Scotland. They want Scotland to be able to produce the good jobs. The good jobs produce revenue. The revenue looks after things like the NHS or, you know, education or hopefully, you know, pensions as well. So we've been trying to do a leaflet where you try and show people what they're, yeah, there's concerns, but there's sort of common concerns, and there's ways in which then, you know, you can stop thinking like it's the pensioners' fault because 75% of us voted no. You know, we had reasonable, there were reasonable anxieties, and there's another way of looking at them. But it's quite a tough job to do, isn't it? Especially on a stall.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the first leaflet we brought out was the one that says our present, their future.
I remember, yeah, that's right. I saw that one. Yeah.
I think that is
and that was that went down very well. So it made folk think about, you know, the responsibility they have.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be well received. But yes, I mean, it is difficult. And the problem is trying to reach the older generation, because I always imagine it that they're sort of hidden behind their net curtains in their house with nothing but the Daily Mail between them and their breakfast.
Well, we heard you had to pull back your curtains as well, you know, at the beginning of this interview.
Gordon, can I ask you, have you heard about, you know, Mary McCabe here in Glasgow, who's a great motivator and energetic
person?
Oh,
I know that also. I've met her a few times.
Yeah, so did you know that Mary has started up, and Marlene and I are both in it for our sins, a musical group, and the idea is that we would go out and we've already done it, we've already done a few concerts in a sheltered housing in old folks' homes, so that we're kind of taking that message out, but in a soft way. You know, we're not sort of ramming a political message down people's throats, but we're out there and we're pensioners for Indy, we're singing Scottish songs and, you know, talking to people and just like forming relationships. And that's kind of, we've already started doing that. We've already done three concerts, well, four if you count the AGM in Edinburgh, but we've done out in the East End of Glasgow, in Carntyne, and also in Denniston, and it went down very well, so we've got more in the pipeline.
Well, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at the AGM, and yes, I did hear you sing there. It was excellent.
Good.
You'll get your £10 in the post later, Gordon.
Actually, I didn't win the raffle, so I was hanging out for that. But I mean, it is important to get in, and that's part of the difficulty. I mean, to reach people in sheltered housing and to reach them is difficult, and so the only way is to reach them where they're out and about, you know, and if you are going to community centres and things where they're going along for their tea or Friday or whatever they do, you know. I mean, I say whatever they do, I'm an old person, but I don't do that yet, you know, I have to make that plain, you know. it is important, and it's amazing how just taking the world out to them, it works. I mean, when the Independence Referendum was on, we put up a number of presentations, and one of which was a shelter, not a sheltered housing, one of these community housings near Bantry, which I wouldn't name for the sake of advertising. But it's quite a big, vast former estate with private with houses which are owned, and people live in them, but it's all linked into the system of support and, you know, getting old. And we went up there and we did a presentation, and it was very well received. And it was just nice, and if people were genuinely asking us deep-rooted questions about what we were doing, what independence was about. And otherwise, if you don't do that, they don't know.
They just
see the headlines in newspapers and the television, and that's about as far as their engagement goes, you know.
Yeah. I sometimes think it would be a good idea to have a link up between, say, something like us, you know, and Pensioners for Independence, but having a link up with one of the, I don't know, Students for Independence, or some of the groups that are more likely to have younger folk in it, and just getting together and doing a stall together. So you've got an older generation and a younger generation, they're able to kind of put both sides of the argument, but haven't managed to organise that one yet.
No, that sounds like like something that needs to be pursued. I mean, the main issue I have with trying to reach the pensioner demographic is trying to get in front of them, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, trying to keep their attention and get their attention. And, I mean, there are companies that do it professionally and very successfully. I mean, how many chairlift advertisements have you had through your door? Okay? How many people do you have selling you airship meals that they're sending you can stick in your freezer?
Gordon, it's the funeral planning ones that I've
sure, and that big, I won't use the word, a big yellow slipper that you sit on in front of the television, you know, the big single one with the body warmer that goes with it. These people target pensioners and older people, and I think next time the official campaign comes round, we've got to have a section of any campaign which does just that, you know. That has a strategy and a professional attitude towards doing it.
Gordon, can I ask, do you have a Twitter address for Pensioners for Indie Aberdeen or Facebook page?
Do I have a what?
Twitter. Do you have a Twitter address for Pensioners for Indie Aberdeen?
It's a Shire, actually. And you'd be terrible to know that. I don't actually know what it is, but I'll find it in a second.
Gordon, I've got it here. I've done a wee tweet. He's saying that you're on the radio, and I've tagged in Indie Live, I think.
Okay, that's perfect. I mean, we do try to get members to come up, and of course the main Pensioners of Independence website gathers names of people who want to sign up.
Yeah.
And I've passed them quite a few in the past, and so it's always good if people who show an interest up from this area, and I knew there was a couple from Aberdeen at the AGM, if they can be put in contact and we can make some more efforts to get them together and come along to the stalls and things.
And I think
to help.
I think we're getting better at, you know, the Pensioners for Indie website now, you know, it's...
It's much more professional.
It's much better. There's more regular stuff, posts being put on, and it's been completely redesigned. So I think that works. There's also, Twitter. I mean, Val's sitting here next to me, set up a Glasgow Twitter feed, and that's really active. So I kind of feel maybe we have got a chance of, meeting people who use websites and who use social media, but it's all the other ones who never do that, and how to kind of get to those in our age group
Can I just jump in here?
Aye?
Right, okay, so, Gordon, I'll be talking to Val and Marley here about setting up a show, Pensioners for Indie, on the radio, right?
Okay.
Now, we're going to be developing that idea, right? But, okay, we've got an app that you can put in phones. Now, a lot of people have phones. Old age pensioners even have phones, right? So, you know, as part of, when we get around to doing the big promotion for Indie Live Radio, right? So just the early stages here, right? It'd be really good if the groups could look at getting apps onto the phone, whether it be iOS or Android, right? Mm-hmm. But you can also do that for your granny and all that kind of stuff, right? Check this out.
We are the grannies.
Right. Do you know what I mean? But try to get the apps onto various phones and stuff, whatever. If we do get this, you know, Pensioners for Indie, like, show going, right, and we will talk about it. I know we're doing it kind of to the world here, but you don't care, you know. That's something, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you need, a common platform that folk can communicate on.
Yeah, and you could be phoning people, like we're phoning you now, Gordon, over the radio, right?
And if it's for older people, don't forget building a function to track them with it, because that's older folk keep wandering off.
Marlene came up with a good idea earlier. She was saying that, you know, how we do our stall every Thursday, that it'd be quite good if you could do like a vox pop from that and maybe talk to people in the street even.
Yeah, we just need a bit of equipment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're going to get organised.
Carefully censored, of course.
No, but every exposure is good. I mean, the great thing about the Yes movement and the pensioners movement is it's just ordinary folk, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just them talking to their neighbours and their friends. So that's where the strength lies. I mean, you always take a recommendation better from someone you know. And even from getting broadcast on the television, or a big advert in the paper. If someone you know tells you something, and you respect them and trust them, then you're liable to, liable to at least listen to part of what they have to say to you. You know,
this is really good, because we've been talking to quite a few Yes groups, and they've been telling us what their strategies are for talking to people. And this is, you know, it's all good stuff, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's so many different, but the only thing, I mean, I said it once already, and I'd hope that the powers that be would do this. There needs to be a formal strategy for targeting pensioners, you know. I thought in the last independence referendum, that was one something that was very sorely lacking in the main campaign. And so this time round, I hope there's a section dedicated to nothing about it, nothing but it, because they're a big demographic, you know, they make up like, 37 or 40% or something.
And a demographic that goes and votes.
And it's 75% or 40%.
Young people are less likely to vote. Yeah.
But is Pensioners for Indy going to take that and work in that strategy as top level group to
Well,
do this?
That's what we should be talking about.
Well,
we haven't done anything about it yet, but that's what we should be talking about.
For all your Pensioners for Indy, Aberdeen, once you come together with top level kind of group.
There's a national sort of coordinating group for Pensioners for Indy, and that's one of the topics that we need to get to grips with.
Right, okay.
I wouldn't say we've done it yet.
Professional guidance on, because a lot of professionals do this, you know?
Yeah.
And they know the sort of strategies. And I mean, I'm not a professional at this at all. I mean, we just make it up as we go along, like most people do. And we try to pick up best practice from anywhere we see.
Well, I know I heard the people at Progress Scotland, the new sort of think tank thing that's been set up. I heard one of them speaking recently, saying just that pensioners are an important bit of this demographic, and we need to think through how to get to them. So,
exactly.
As many people doing it as possible.
It's a poor demographic that we can't reach. Yeah. And we really need to make an effort.
How do we get hold of these professionals that could help us out? Talking about Pensioners for Indy specifically now, but obviously other groups, right? But how do we tap into them? Where are they? Why aren't they coming forward?
There
must be retired experts in this field, for the love of God. Yeah?
Well, you could probably form a professional body within Pensioners and recruit the retired professionals that we have.
Exactly.
I mean, there must be out of the body of people that we have already, you know, half a dozen who are... have skills in this, and just bring them in and make them a subgroup to work away on it.
I think the likes of that targeted advertising does cost money, though, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't come free.
Well,
that's why you had all the scandals about the targeted advertising connected with the Brexit referendum, funded by like dark money and money from millionaires.
Just talking about that, right? During IndyRef, right? The No campaign didn't have much of a presence in the ground, but where they did have a huge presence was in social media.
AstroTurf.
They were AstroTurfing, but the advertising that was going on via Facebook, because they had the money to do it, but they didn't have many boots in the ground.
Wasn't a true grassroots movement.
It wasn't. It was a lie, as we know. But we need these professionals to get involved somehow.
Is that something you think that will come from more high-level bodies with more funding, like Progress Scotland or the Scottish Independence Foundation, perhaps?
Well, I mean, it's all about contacts, isn't it? I mean, if you're reaching out for people with that skill set, right, retired, right, with the marketing skill set, or people must know people to get involved, you know, it's just getting the word out.
These things are capable, because I've got some... this is in Edinburgh, and I mean, this is off topic a little bit, but it's an example of what can be done. I mean, there's areas in Edinburgh where there's old walls and old lamps and, you know, the old original 1820s and 30s architecture and things that are falling into disrepair. And there's a body around Stockbridge that completely volunteers, but retired lawyers and architects and things that just got stuck in. And they raised like £750,000 to get all the work renovated in one particular area. And they just did it as they formalised a body and did it. And,
yeah.
And these things are possible when you have the skills. It's just a question of pulling them together.
Yeah, and as
you
know...
And that's what takes the time and the effort to get it.
As you know, Gordon, we've got a fair few hundreds, 500-600 people on our mailing list from Pensioners for Independence. So, you know, maybe when I get home this afternoon, I should get our membership secretary to do a wee newsletter and say, look, anyone out there got experience, got the skill set, well, can you come and help us?
Amazing to target that. I see Pensioners for Independence being so important.
Just drop a... I'm sorry, it's breaking up here.
You're absolutely right, though, that, you know, it's social media is useful, but it's not the main, the most effective way to target the older demographic.
Yeah. It's a multi, you know...
Multi-stranded approach. Exactly. We have to try different tactics. Street stalls, meetings...
Yeah.
Singing.
Okay, listen.
Singing is excellent.
It's coming up to half past one, right? We need to phone Martin Day, MP down in Westminster. So, Gordon, I'm going to give you one last shout out to you. Would you like to tell us anything else?
Well, I'll just say that all pensioners up in Aberdeenshire, or Aberdeen for that matter, you'll find my Twitter link there now. It's going to be broadcast, so just... contact us and get in touch and we'll sort you out. We'll get out there campaigning.
Of course, you can also get in contact with you maybe via the Indie app or the website.
Yes, there's an Indie app group there, so you can do that. I'll just contact the Central Pensioners Independence and they'll put you on to me.
Okay, Brian Gordon, listen, we will be back in contact. You can be sure of it, right? This is just the start.
Oh, God, here we go.
Nice to speak to you again, Gordon. Okay.
My pleasure, Dom.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheerio, Gordon. Bye. Bye, Gordon. Okay, so that was really good. All we need to do now is get a hold of Martin. All right, let me see if I can get Martin. Now, we're a bit rushed today, people, because we need to absolutely stop at 2 p.m. The last two shows we did, Monday and Wednesday, the show went on for 5 hours.
Great. That sounds like a good one.
Shattered.
That's why you're not.
Shattered. And Jilly, God bless Jilly, eating her wee sandwich thing there. She was full of help. Okay, so here goes Martin Day. Let's give him a shout. He's ready for this one. Everybody's trying to eat. You don't get to eat. Okay, here goes. That's a shame, Neil. Neil can't listen to this because we don't have enough headphones.
Hello?
Martin, it's Kevin from IndieLive.radio.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
Yeah, not bad. I've managed to have a long lie this morning. It feels great.
a long lie, my goodness. So what's happening in the madness of Westminster?
Well, the good news is we don't crash out of the EU without a deal tonight, so that's we could all breathe a wee sigh of relief and relax for a week or two. I suppose the big change was what we got from the EU Council. It wasn't quite what I think we were all expecting. I think we were all expecting a longer potential extension.
Oh, give me a second.
The 31st of August is probably not bad. Enough time to pretty much do any of the options if it's got a mind to do something. Although that assumes that there can be any agreement reached, which is still the questionable part of the whole equation.
When's it to again the extension that the EU are given?
They're doing a review at the end of June. I'm not quite sure what the significance of that is, other than that's when the council was planning to meet anyway, and probably they're looking to see if May's still the Prime Minister, given the emphatic assurance she gave Parliament that she wouldn't countenance a delay beyond the 30th of June. So
yeah. Well, it's I don't. Do you see them actually coming to any agreement, even with that extension?
It's hard to see them coming to an agreement. I mean, I think we've also got to remember the electoral events that are taking place as well. And I can't see how they'll get an agreement before the English Council elections on the 2nd of May. That's obviously a big one for them. And then, of course, if the EU elections is to happen, and then it looks like the Tories would be the ones that come off worst out of that, why would anyone agree to bail them a lifeline when they could sort it out after that, you know. So I can't see anything happening in the short term. That should still, however, leave enough time if people want to have another referendum or general election. Not that that will solve the Brexit problem, but it would give us all a boost and allow us to campaign on things we do care about more. So anything's still possible. Interestingly, the no deal worst case scenario looks significantly less possible, and the fact that the UK civil servants have been stood down from no deal planning suggests that everybody's thinking it's less likely as well. So we can take some comfort from that, although we still have to wait and see, and we're not out of that worst case scenario happening altogether, because a new Tory leader could come in and completely change tack and go down the hard line approach. So it's all wait and see still.
We've had quite an interesting discussion in the office today, and we've got two ladies from Pensioners for Indy here and Neil Scott from Ungagged Podcasts. And Neil was saying that he thinks we might not get Indy Ref to, for it could be kicked into the long grass for a few years, and we all groaned because we're like, oh no.
Well,
Neil's here.
I think Nicola's playing a good game so far. We're waiting to see and get clarity. I think we all expected clarity to come a lot quicker than it has. Nobody, even the most ardent critics of the UK, like myself, never thought they could be this incompetent.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it just wasn't on the cards that they could be, and they've exceeded all of our expectations. And wonderfully, for the cause of independence, they've shown that to the wider populace. We now all realise just how incompetent they actually are. So that's a positive. I don't see why the delay in this process should derail Indy. I think it just adds more fuel to our fire and keeps us going in the right direction. But we've got to get the timing right, and that's the key part. Yeah.
Okay. So I've asked the last couple of calls to give us a weather report. What's it like where you are?
Well, It's quite nice. It's quite warm. I'm not sure what the temperature is, but it's certainly very mild. I've got my open neck shirt on. I'm not wearing a tie today, although I have taken a light raincoat just in case. But I'm still in London at the moment, and the weather is always a good 5 degrees warmer there anyway. So it's perfectly pleasant.
Well, that's pretty good, because we've had weather reports for Aberdeen, obviously for Glasgow, so we've cracked this live weather report. People just stick their heads out the window and tell us wherever they are.
It's like being on the phone with my mum, what's the weather like with you today?
I think we're onto something here, aren't we? Weather reports from around Scotland, just phone someone up. And
who needs Sean Batty?
Exactly, stick their head out the window, you know?
Aye.
So what's your plans, Martin? Are you just for heading back up the road, or...
I'm taking a couple of days just to relax and chill out, and then I'll get back and do stuff sort of Wednesday onwards, and hopefully have the Easter weekend with just a few other family things as well. So it'll be quiet and rest and recuperation, because when we do go back, it'll be all mayhem again, I dare say. And interestingly enough, of course, both parliaments return on St George's Day, the 23rd.
Oh, really? Good.
So, I don't know what the significance there is, but certainly that's when the Brexit debacle continues. So,
oh, well, we're all looking forward to that. more of the same. But listen, Martin, you're more than welcome if you make it over to Glasgow to you know, pop in and see us. Yeah,
it'd be
in the office. We phone you enough. Yeah. So if you get the chance, please come over and see us. Okay.
Yeah, no, that'd be probably quite good. We need to have a chat anyway about what kind of kit we should get for doing more live streams like that down here. So, yeah.
Do you know what? I forgot about that. That's something else I need to note down. We're working on trying to get them a bit of kit so as they can set up their own channel down there.
That'd be really good, yeah.
Okay, we'll add that to the list of things to do. Okay, Martin, I'll get back to you that as soon as I can, right? I got a bit of time.
Yes.
It's the wife's birthday today, and she's... somebody's actually got... But my good friend JJ, Johnny's here, and I think he's managed to get Edith Piaf. No regrets. I'm well chuffed with that. So it's Claire's birthday. If she's listening to this, she's going to be well happy. I can't believe you got that, Johnny.
Fantastic.
Listen, from a very happy Indy Live radio office, Martin, well done to you and your colleagues. We're well proud of you. Okay.
Yep, much appreciated.
Oh, you're going to clap as well. Hey! Keeping your sanity, that's amazing. Go on, okay, listen, you have a great time and good time with your family and relaxation when you get back up, okay?
Aye, brilliant.
Okay.
Speak to you soon.
Bye now.
Aye, cheers.
That was good, wasn't it? You know, he's still keeping his sanity together. So, you know, a well-deserved break.
I don't know how they do it, really.
No, I know.
And, okay, right, see, before I forget, right, because I tend to forget, there's so much happening about me, right, that, you know, as well as the cables and trying to get you headphones and stuff.
It's all right.
Neil, I don't want to forget my wife's birthday, so she's asked for this song, Edith Piaf, No Regrets, so... We're going to have to play it, okay, folks?
I love that song.
Great choice. Yeah. Here we go. Happy birthday, Claire. Okay, and welcome back to IndieLive.radio. And remember, you can get the iOS app and the Android app. Go to the website, IndieLive.radio. Also got the chat box here. We've got the hashtag IndieLive.radio. So we can monitor everything, don't we? JJ is sitting here. He's got a show tonight.
Yeah, 9 to midnight.
9 to midnight. Okay, so good discussions had today. What do you think?
Yes, gang. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, really enjoying it.
A nice starter for 10. The next time we'll go into more depth.
Good stuff, yeah. So we'll have you back, Neil. We've not put you off anywhere. Any hiccups?
No, not at all.
Lack of headphones. No, actually, the problem wasn't actually lack of headphones, it was actually lack of places to plug it in.
Right.
But that's part of the equipment we're going to get, right? We're going to hopefully get, so you know, there'll be plenty of places to plug in headphones, so it should be okay there.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the chat, it was good, and actually some good ideas about things to take forward, you know, about keeping people engaged, but also the idea about having subgroups and everything. And that chap from, was it Ian from Ross?
Ian, yeah. Ross Sutherland.
Really good idea, really good kind of way that they're working.
You've just reminded me about something.
I aim to please.
And that is, Ian did post a message on the chat, he was talking about the Discord that you kicked off.
About what, sorry?
Neil,
Discord?
We are, let's you know, 3 years before we even have India, which caused all the kerfuffle in the office. I thought it was going to be a fight. And,
go on social media tonight.
I think we could take you, Neil.
I think it's Neil, you're fine.
I surrender.
Mugged by hell's
what, no, not no surrender.
Oh, don't go there, Marley.
I know, I won't. I shouldn't.
Trouble at the mill. So Ian said the Scott, or the, oh, sorry, okay, this is about the you know, within groups. Arguing and all that.
Yeah.
The Discord is more on Twitter and Facebook, I think. The Yes Movement, in the main, are extremely tolerant of individual ideas and views, in my experience. And I'd say there's...
Yeah. Well,
I agree. At the end of the day,
Twitter is small. We keep forgetting that, right? Yeah, we're on it all the time.
That's very Facebook. True.
I think that's true.
Look, agree. In a room, I mean, I've been in meetings, like Yes Meetings, where you've got lots and lots of people... Lots and lots of people have different ideas. Lots and lots of people have different views on things, and there's no people scrapping. You know, we all are tolerant of each other. I think there is something happens to people when they get on to. There's something that happens between their brain and their thumb. I don't know what it is.
You have a bad day at the office, whatever. You go into social media, you can just vent.
It's a good way to vent, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? And it's hard not to sometimes. But there you go. But yeah, that was really, really enjoyed today. Lots of good, lots of good talks, as you said. And, again, from us phoning up, Gordon.
Gordon, that was great.
Show you how easy it can be done, you know. So you can connect with any groups from around Scotland. And we've been doing that, obviously. Every show we'll try and phone someone somewhere, you know. But, so do we have any... We've got another 9 minutes to go, right? So, Ray Indy Pram's just walked in. Right. He's not got his pram with him, so I'm a bit gutted about that. Any kind of final thoughts, folks? You'd like to chat about?
Did I get? Oh, sorry, on you go. No, on you go.
Right, well, I was going to say was.
Oh, yeah, podcast.
Well, I was going to say, just on where that's concerned, you've asked, you're going to put our podcast on next, but there's one person I think that you should talk to at some stage, and that's a woman called Natalia Urban. She's she's formed a group called Resist Brazil, and she's been campaigning with the SNP, she's been campaigning with different groups about what's going on in Brazil at the moment with their ultra-right wing government whatever. There, she'd be a fantastic guest on this to talk about what's going on over in Brazil. She lives through in, I think she's in Edinburgh, but she's on the podcast that you're going to hear in a little while, along with she's going to be talking actually about the rise of femicide cases in Brazil, and then I'm on it, which is actually unusual. I'm doing the technical stuff, but I'm on it, and I'm talking about racism in the media of the billionaires.
Yeah.
Richie Benton, who's from the SSP,
he's a
really great speaker.
Yeah.
He's talking about 1919 revolt on the Clyde and the Lagan. All the left wing politics that were going on the street here and on the street over in Belfast. Mm-hmm. Well, the Wakes lead singer Paul Sheridan has done a podcast that he's named "The Emperor's New Clothes." And we rave, do you know we rave on Twitter?
I love him.
Well, we rave tweets, or we rave podcasts with us. So,
all right, okay.
So he reads his poem, The Squeaker of the House, and then with music from Voxen, a Dundee group called The Cundies. Have you heard of The Cundies?
I have, yeah. I've heard The Wakes, I've heard them.
And The Wakes are on as well, but The Wakes are... like and John McCarg, who was involved with Yes... a while back, he's not so much now, and another group called Cosmic Kaz as well are on. And by the way, anybody wanting to find us, we're on Twitter @_ungagged, we're on facebook.com/ungagged, and our website is leftungagged.org, and that's my plug for the day.
Excellent.
well, just to let
have
you know,
listening to that, definitely.
I'm desperately trying to get your podcast to go at 2:00.
Hopefully it does. There's loads of reading on our website. We've got, as I say, people like Mary Hunter regularly writes for us, and various different other people about Scottish politics and politics across the world. So there's more than just the podcast there. So I visit the website.
Well, that's set up. 2:00 today.
Fantastic.
Right, your podcast is on. So after this, the Ungagged podcast, folks. Right, and I keep. JJ, who's on tonight between 9 and midnight, right, keeps telling me not to say the word, that word. You want to say it?
Right.
Exactly. Right. I can't help it. I can't help. I will endeavour not to say that word.
See, the good thing about a podcast is you can edit all those things out. Because I say quite a lot.
I know.
I'm just constantly going through my podcast pieces and editing out
I'd assume when I was live streaming, right? Right, I've done it again.
Right.
When I was live streaming, when I looked at, the events I was doing, sometimes they make noises and that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, jeez, I've got to stop doing that, And it does finally filter in, but it does take time.
It does.
You know, as long as, you know, that's
you don't realise your own little sort of,
exactly,
you know, little ticks until other people point them out.
Yeah. Or you unfortunately have to go back and listen to yourself.
Can I do a plug before we finish?
Plug away.
Bigger plug for the next meeting of Glasgow Pensioners for Independence is Friday, April 26th. And this time we're meeting in the Bacchus Bar, that's Glassford Street, downstairs in the Bacchus Bar, 2:00. And there'll be a few things happening, but the main thing is a talk from Ken Dickinson of Scottish CND. So Friday, April 26th. 2 p.m.
Right. Can I, if I got time
go for it.
I've already said it, but just a reminder that the next meeting of Yes Glasgow Northwest is in Knightswood Community Centre a week on Tuesday. That's Tuesday the 23rd April at 7:00, and we'd be really keen for any interested people that are keen to get involved. Anyone that lives sort of Annie's Land, Knightswood, Drumchapel way.
You're not going to believe it, folks. I've got Robin McAlpine in it.
Right.
Hi, Robin. Don't swear. I've got you in speaker, and I'm hanging over the radio, just telling people that I've finally got you on the phone. but not through the radio though. So listen, what we'll do is we'll give you a call next week. Yeah, we'll sort some out. I'll give you a call next week, or if not, unless you can come into the office. Brilliant, that's great. Okay, that's brilliant, Robin. Fantastic. Some timing. No, don't worry. I'll talk to you again soon, Robin. Bye now. Well, there you go, folks. That's Robin McAlpin just phoning me up on the mobile phone there. I've got a quick shout out by Jilly here. Jilly?
They'll absolutely garrot me at... They'll garrot me at Yes Southside. We've got Andy Anderson, I was going to say earlier on, we've got Andy Anderson speaking at the Govan Hill Neighbourhood Centre in Daisy Street, Tuesday the 16th, 7 p.m. It's free. Get along, talk on currency.
Bill and Sebastian coming up. Bye from all of us.
Bye. 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 Thanks for having us.